Hi, this is Zoe Routh, and this week we are going to talk about insights from my event, The Edge of Leadership, and what you can do about the future of leadership, practical steps to move you forward now. Let's get into it.
Welcome to the Zoe Routh Leadership Podcast, your source of strategies and insights to make you a better leader. Influence, improve, inspire.
Well, what an extraordinary event. There was 90 of us gathered in a room in Canberra. People from all over Australia came to explore the edge of leadership and what different elements of leadership mean when we're looking at an uncertain future. It was great. The vibe in the room was awesome. And we're so excited to do some more events in the future. And Bianca and I will be planning this week. So there'll be some more good things happening. So either live in town and around Australia, and also on webinars. So plenty of exciting stuff coming your way. When I look at the theme of the conference, there was three things we wanted to get participants to engage with or to experience. The first one was learning about leadership thinking. What effective strategic leadership thinking could we use given our changing circumstances? So that was one of the themes. Connections was certainly another one. And the unconference idea, where we left plenty of time for engagement and conversation and meeting each other, was a highlight. So lots of people valued that more than I thought they would, actually. In fact, a lot of the feedback was, could we please have more time to talk with each other? So conference organizers, take note. This is one of the valuable pieces of experiences that we can offer people when we bring folks together. The third aspect was around contribution, exploring how business can make a difference in the world and how this can also benefit business. So the first key learning insight from Unconference for business people is that compassion trumps competition. This was highlighted by Peter Munday of Lennox Volkswagen and his story. So Peter is a long-term Canberran. He's been with Lennox Volkswagen, started the dealership 33 years ago as a young kid, and worked his way up to being the dealer principal. And over that time, his contribution to the community has always been something that he's relished and embraced. Not originally for any particular business purpose, but because he cared about his clients. And some of his clients' stories, people who were suffering with cancer or struggling with different issues, moved him to take action, to leverage his networks to gather funds and to make contributions to different charities. So he supports a number of different charities. One of them is the Canberra Hospital Foundation that especially supports adolescent youth. So he has a strong passion for helping kids at risk make it through adolescence in a safe way. And a lot of the people in the audience were particularly moved by what he actually does in his business. So it's not just about raising money. He actually hires kids who, from sketchy backgrounds, if you like, kids at risk, and he gives them a chance. And his philosophy is, you get three chances, and he always thinks the best of you until you prove him wrong. So he's been able to give kids a hand up, if you like, and the opportunity to have a job and meaning and place and belonging. Now, he says sometimes he gets burnt, but the difference is that the ones that he helps succeed and who go on to have longstanding careers, not even always in the automotive industry, are the things that keep him going. So there's more successes than there are failures, and the failures he doesn't let drag him down. So his contribution to community is around raising funds. He's raised over $2.7 million for charities over the years. It's about involving kids and giving them a go in his business. That's so risky, isn't it? I don't think there's many other businesses who would take that approach. And yet he's been very successful in that. He's actually one of the top dealers around Australia in his business. So he's been quite successful. And he shared that, and out of Canberra, which is a small community, there's only 350,000 of us here, and his dealership is one of the top ones in Australia. He says, I don't know for sure, but he makes the link between his charity work and the networks that he engages with through his charity work to being the critical point or the critical aspect of his success in business. And he says, but you don't do the charity work for the point of building your business. You do the charity work because you care. And because you care, people want to do business with you. It's kind of a synergistic loop. So that was a key learning from the event. The next one is diversity gives leverage. Now, this isn't necessarily a surprise. There's been a lot of research out there that's saying that businesses with diversity, so different perspectives, backgrounds, religions, cultural backgrounds, brings a lot of richness to the table. So this concept, however, when it applies to your own personal network, is a little bit different. Diversity in your network gives you leverage. What this means is that every person has their own circle of influence and connections. And when you meet a connector that's outside of your circle of influence, you then build a relationship with somebody who can introduce you to multiples more. And it's like building a really strong web around you. So the fact is that most business professionals don't build a network beyond their industry. So you might go to your professional association's network events, and that's about it. And so you miss out on all the richness of connections that's outside of your usual sphere. And the reason we do that is because I think we are flock-like creatures. We like to hang out like birds of a feather. It's so much easier, right? So if you're in the same industry, you have that in common, so it's easier to converse and get along. And yet, we reinforce our own perspectives and worldviews when we do that. So getting out and joining other communities is really, really critical. That's why I love Meetup. Meetup is a wonderful platform where people of all sorts of diverse interests can gather to share their common interests. So the challenge is to join meetups that you don't have a common interest in, just out of curiosity and to see what the connections are that you can build. So the tip here is, how can you diversify your network? How do you get out of your own little pond that you're swimming in and swim in somebody else's pond? Because this will give you leverage in terms of connections and insights. The next learning point, the third one, is related to diversity, and it's that perspective allows profit. The more diverse your perspective, the more ways you can look at a situation, the more opportunities you will see. I think we often go through business and work and life with blinkers on, and we get so used to filtering what we see through our own particular lenses that we are extremely blind to them. When we share a discussion or share an opportunity with people from very different backgrounds, the diversity piece there, we have insights into perspective that we wouldn't otherwise have. I was speaking to a client about this, actually, and her concern was that she shouldn't speak up, or she felt like she shouldn't speak up because she doesn't have a 360 perspective. She only has a narrow view. And she thought she did not know enough yet to be able to offer a contribution. She felt like she needed more of a 360 than her own particular lens. And my argument with her, or suggestion to her, is that her perspective is extremely valuable, and that together with her cohort of peers, they combine their perspectives for an expanded perspective. So the same goes true with the networking component. If we only share our perspectives with people who are in the same organization, then we still have blinkers on. And one of the key critical things we need to do as professionals, if we're going to grow our businesses and grow our influence, is to develop perspectives from people who are not like us. And that's the concept of building an A team. We have A teams within our organizations. Those are the people that have got our backs, who can give us fierce feedback, who we trust explicitly. Absolutely. They should be your core executive team if you're on the executive, or your team that you manage personally. You should be working on developing those bonds and relationships so that you have that sense of cohesion. Outside of your organization, though, this is where most professionals miss out, is having an A team that you can bank on or rely on that is not related to you in terms of family or friendships or industry. So when you curate an A team from people outside of your immediate circle, a couple amazing things happen. One, they can give you incredible advice from their wealth of experience. Two, they can give you feedback because really they're not invested in the outcome. So they can be fierce and frank, and they can weigh up all the options without getting emotionally attached or filtered by that. And that is extraordinarily valuable. So you can unplug your own emotions by outsourcing it to your own A team. How you go about doing that, that was the big question at the conference, is research. LinkedIn is your friend. Start Googling people who are in different industry sectors and start building relationships with them. And then once a quarter, invite them to dinner. And here's the exchange value. you offer them drinks and dinner in exchange for their perspective on a particular challenge or series of challenges that you may have in your work or your business. So they get to contribute their opinion, and people love to be of service. So you're doing a great benefit to them, and you're also providing dinner and drinks. And they get to broaden their network as well. The benefit to you, of course, is their perspective, because in their perspective, there's new insight, and with new insight, there's new opportunity, and with new opportunity, there is profit. The fourth key insight from the day, and it's one that I have long subscribed to, is that big views give big insight. I can't stress how important this is. I have always been a wilderness explorer ever since I was a young kid at the age of 12 and I went to summer camp. And I've always known the value of getting out into nature, out into a different environment where you can feel grounded, where all the busyness of your brain, your concerns of the day, seem to melt away in the presence of such beauty and awe and wonder. Dr. Jason Fox told about his story recently where he did a week-long retreat into the New Zealand mountains. It's an extraordinary place. And there he gained such clarity around how he was running his life and his business, and made some critical decisions about how he would restructure his team, how he'd refocus his business, and how he could move forward in a much more grounded, cohesive, aligned way. And it was only by virtue of getting away, getting out, that he was able to do that, to find that sense of space where you can decompress and allow new insights. So for me, this is all about why I go skiing. And being up in the mountains and seeing extraordinary views helps do that, helps expand the possibilities. And this also happens for me when I go down to the beach as well. That sense of ocean instills awe, wonder, possibility. It expands a sense of time frames. And yet so few people make time to get out. And it doesn't even have to be big trips. Like, not everybody can afford to go to Japan to go to the mountains, say, for example, or can even afford a week away without family in tow. So the challenge is to do this in little ways, on a daily basis or regular basis. Get out at lunchtime and just sit under a tree on a park bench and allow the gift of nature to decompress you, to disengage from the activity. Don't take your iPhone, and sit there and just be present. And that little snapshot during your day can be enough to unwind the busyness of the brain and allow new insights to come. So the challenge is to actually do it. So you can do it on a daily basis, you can do it on a quarterly, yearly basis, and you can do it on the weekend too. Get out for a couple of hours, go for a run or a bike ride or a walk outside. Get out of your cubicles, people. The last insight, and I love this one, is to play the game and to play it happily. Dr. Jason Fox and I have long espoused the idea of having a theme for the year. And in his keynote, Jason talked about having a thematic word as kind of operates like a fuzzy beacon for you. Instead of having goals, which I subscribe to having goals, he says we can get stuck. We can really get roped into the idea of goals and get stuck in them. And I think there's a place for goals. I think they can help structure activity and focus in the short term. For bigger pieces of experience, like a year or a decade, to have a fuzzy contextual beacon with a theme word helps guide us along. And so we can change and do course correction as we go. So having a theme word, we can start with boring words like balance and insight and achievement, say. And yet if we expand this into something more creative, it becomes more emotive and symbolic for us. So he suggested going to the visual thesaurus and putting in your word and seeing what pops up. And this can then lead you down a creative path where you can see what inspiration comes up for you. For Jason, he's had different words that are quite interesting. He's had kingly, that was a few years ago. And the idea there was to step up, to be more mature, to be more stately, to be more expressive and confident, I think. Then he had pirate. Pirate is a theme word. And this was all about being non-compliant, to taking control of your own destiny, to being a little bit debonair. And that sort of applies to big picture choices as well as shorter term choices, like when you go out to a restaurant, you just always go last. Do you take the second fiddle, or do you step up and take what you want? Do you just order the thing that you want off the menu because you're a pirate? Yeah. And then his following year was gentleman pirate. I love that. It's about being dignified and swashbuckling without just renegade. This year's theme for him is jester, and that's all about play and being playful and not taking yourself so seriously. And I love that aspect of the message of playing the game and playing it happily, is that our life on the planet is so brief and so short and so wondrous. Why don't we just play it in a fun kind of way? My theme word for the year is sunshine. And there's lots of great songs with the word sunshine in it, and it kind of contextualizes happiness for me, and it also is the beacon for radiant energy. So one of my Achilles heels is self-sacrifice. So I work too hard and my health suffers. It's this ongoing thing, and it's something that I'm constantly working on. And for me this year, I want to have radiant energy like sunshine beaming through me at all times, in great service to my clients, and also mostly in great service to me, so that my life is joyful and fulfilling and full of energy and not draining and exhausting. So the challenge for you is, what is your fuzzy contextual word? What could it be, and how might that change and shift for you? So I hope you enjoyed the wrap-up from the Unconference. There's pictures on our Facebook page. Go ahead and have a look and explore what's there. You can have a listen to some of the table hosts through previous episodes of the podcast to get some insights. There's extraordinary people doing extraordinary things in our community. And I hope that you will be one of those people if you're not already, and continue to expand the contribution that you make to your business and to your world. The show notes for this episode, and I'll have a link to Jason's books and his site and a couple of other things, like his articles that he's written on contextual words that operate as fuzzy beacons, on the show notes page. And if you go to zoerouth.com/podcast/edge, there they'll be. All right. Lead well, live well.